This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, they are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cakes Auville and Jason Bishop. Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, he's a Radio.com NFL insider. It's our pal Jason LaConfora, brought to you by Pennzoil. Pennzoil Motor Oils, made from natural gas, bring all the insider calls to you. The proof is in the Pennzoil. What's up, Jason?
What's going on, guys?
What's up, JLC?
Good morning, Jason.
So how's dealing with a pandemic, like month number 5 or 6 with your family, your kids? You got a new job, too. How's that all been?
It's, you know what, man? We've been really lucky, by and large. Super lucky in terms of everybody's health, you know. And sure, you've had to adapt to a lot of things and figure a bunch of stuff out on the fly. And we'll see what this, you know, school year will bring. But I can't complain, man. We've been luckier than a lot of people out there. And hopefully we're edging closer to whatever life not in this sort of mode looks like. But yeah, it'll be an interesting, few weeks here of this sort of mini NFL training camp preseason scenario without any games. And then we'll see what next month shall bring.
I'm still pessimistic.
Well, I just...
But look, college football won't play one college football game this year. On any level, they're not going to play one. And this really gets me, Jason.
You're convinced by that?
Yes. And all these athletic directors and presidents are a bunch of morons. They go through the trouble of releasing schedules. Conference only. They give you the dates and everything. People are buying hotel rooms and reserving hotel rooms like I did. And then a week later, they say, no, it's inevitable. There's a liability issue. You didn't know that 2 weeks ago? What are these people doing? I don't get it. Explain it to me.
I can't. I have not thought for 1 second that there would be any way to play quasi-amateur, that aren't really amateur football games, where you're asking kids to take on significant risk without compensation, without us knowing everything we'd like to know or need to know about this virus. And doing it at a time when the educational system in many parts of the country is primarily virtual or virtual only, yet we're going to congregate these kids on a campus and fly them all over the country, you know, to play other teams that are sequestered on a ghost town campus. So I have been saying on my show and you know, intimating in the columns that I write that there's the idea that there's going to be college football of any great degree is ridiculous. And at some point, the lawyers and the insurance companies will step in and say, okay, here you go. Like, here's the bottom line. Like, here's the worst case scenarios. Here's, like, our sort of mid-range projections. And here's if there's, the miracle of miracles and you escape with minimal human damage. Here's what that looks like. And at a certain point, the numbers people were going to have their say. And now that you're about to actually start staging these things, they have. I mean, it's obviously different in the NFL because guys are being compensated. They are professionals in every way, shape, or form. We're not playing word games about what's amateur, what's professional. They have a union that has collectively bargained new rights for them, new workplace security, safety measures, unlike what we have at the college game where you had a, you know, these sort of ad hoc groups of hundreds or thousands of students saying, here's what we want, but you don't have actual lawyers negotiating that. You don't have a collectively bargained process to go through. So there's never been any doubt in my mind that football would launch. How long we're able to go, I don't know. When guys start practicing and rubbing up against each other for a couple hours a day, a lot of these guys live in communities. A lot of NFL football is played in places where it looks like, at least to start, schools are going to open up normally. These guys, by and large, are in their 20s and 30s. They have young kids who go to school. They have wives who may be teachers or maybe, you know, volunteering at the school or involved in the school, driving the kids to school and picking the kids up from school. What are those, you know, what are the numbers in these communities going to look like? And then if the, you know, when the NFL gets out of this period where they're testing guys, you know, all the time, what does that look like? Baseball's got problems. You know,
I was going to say, avoid that. And the reason I'm pessimistic about the NFL is because the NBA and NHL had it different because they went bubble, right?
Yes.
Baseball did not, but baseball has the luxury of being able to make up a game the next day or the you know, 3 days from now, play doubleheaders. The Cardinals have played five games, by the way. The Yankees have played 17.
Yeah.
If you do that in the NFL, you can't just cancel a certain portion of the games. You can't just make it up on a Wednesday. You know what I mean? So I don't see how the NFL can do it.
No, I think it's going to be exceedingly difficult. And even this idea that, well, if everybody does the right thing. I mean, you can be doing the right thing and somebody else in that building, an equipment guy, a marketing person, you know, whomever could have it and not realize they have it and spread it. You know, even with wearing a mask, what's going on in the bathrooms? I mean, it's just like this thing, you know, millions of Americans have been impacted by this. And the fact that the NFL is going to require 185 plus people in these buildings every day for 6 months, if they're able to finish a season. And the NFL is also not operating like baseball is with this sort of bastardized season. You know, we're still looking at teams like Seattle playing games, you know, on the East Coast. Like, I don't, especially trying to replay some of those games if need be, or move those games around or reschedule those games, that's not going to be easy. It is going to be a challenge the likes of which no one in that league office at Park Avenue has ever seen before.
Joined by Jason Locke and for Radio.com NFL Insider. How surprised were you by the news that came out on Friday evening about Darius Geis arrested and subsequently released by the Washington football team on charges of domestic violence? There were character issues with him heading into the draft, but he seemed like a guy who, at least outwardly, was a guy who was accepted by the fans, you know, mingled with the fans, seemed to have a good personality, but obviously has a dark side with the charges that have been up against him at this point.
Yeah, I mean, these are allegations that span over a pretty wide period of time and involve, you know, multiple instances where he is alleged to have acted in a menacing criminal fashion, and obviously the Washington football team is privy to a lot of the details of these allegations, and they looked at them individually and in their totality and said, we can't allow this person to come into our building anymore. I mean, you start talking about strangulation, you're talking about felony accusations. I think that a lot of teams would have acted in this manner in the situation that we're in right now. And what's to come for him, I don't know. Nobody claimed him on waivers. Bruce Allen's not in the league anymore. So, yeah, I'm not surprised by that either. But it's an unfortunate situation. You're right, he certainly did have this sort of outgoing, gregarious, very sort of open nature with fans on social media and such. But I don't, you know what I mean? That I don't know his, you know, his character. I haven't spent a whole lot of time with him. And even if, you know, people in the media do spend a lot of time with guys in the work environment or in the locker room or whatever, you know, you just never know. I mean,
never
if you would have given me that Baltimore Ravens
doors.
Roster, you know, whatever, 8 years ago, and said, you know, one of these guys is going to strike his fiance in an elevator, you know, there would have been 51 guys I would have guessed before Ray Rice. You just don't know.
Talking to Jason LaConfora, NFL Insider for Radio.com, brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oils made from natural gas. Bring insider calls to you. The proof is in the Pennzoil. All right, let's talk about a column you recently wrote about the Pittsburgh Steelers. You tackled two issues. One, diversity, which Mike Tomlin chimed in on, and two, kind of the rebirth of Big Ben, who apparently his spiral looks different.
Yeah, I mean, Tomlin talked a little bit about the spiral being different, and I talked to other people in the organization about that, and they said, well, look, if you really sat there, you know, with a clicker and studied frame by frame his throwing motion, it is slightly different, which may be leading to the ball, at least initially, coming out a little bit differently. But they're over the moon about where he is in his recovery and, you know, how focused he is mentally and, you know, him really kind of looking to make up for lost time and knowing that, you know, this might be it. This might be his last best chance to win something of significance in the NFL. The defense, obviously, last year was good enough to keep them around for 17 weeks, despite having no semblance of sort of even below average quarterback play. I mean, they were really kind of skirting by without a quarterback. And that obviously had a negative effect on the production of guys at skill positions across that offense. So do I think there's a rebirth there? Yeah, I don't think they're going to be throwing 45, 50 times a game like they were under Todd Haley when they had Antonio Brown and, you know, Le'Veon Bell and, you know, Juju was just sort of a secondary guy and the defense wasn't that good and they were constantly drafting corners and safeties because they didn't trust their secondary. I think they're going to be much more conservative. They've got to get back to running the football. And the best thing they can do for Ben is if they can sort out that offensive line where they have for the first time in a long time a couple of jobs up for grabs, and if they can get back to being able to run the ball and run the ball on first down where people think you're going to run the ball. You know, and also I kind of look at Ben's situation like I do the league. There's no doubt in my mind that they're going to get this thing off the ground, that they're going to hit the ground running in week one, and that, you know, it's going to be all systems go. But at age 38 and with his mobility not what it was, and with that offensive line suddenly in more question than it's been under in, you know, five, six years, at age 38, how does he finish? And what does he look like in December if we get there? But that's a very competitive football team, and I expect them to be back in the postseason.
Jason, stay safe. We appreciate the time.
You guys do the same, man. I appreciate you guys as always. Thank you.
Radio.com, NFL Insider, Pennzoil, brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oils made from natural gas. Brings insider calls to you. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Coming up next, we will talk about the college football season. Should they be shutting it down? We'll open up the phone lines at 800-636-1067. You've heard some top players like Trevor Lawrence say they want to play. Can they save the season or should they shut it down? 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Remember, we got Jason Sobel joining us coming up at 9 o'clock to talk PGA Championship. He's a golf writer for the Action Network. He's always very good, so you don't want to miss that coming up at 9 o'clock. But we wanted to touch on some of the things with Jason Lockenfour talked about regarding college football. It's not official. But there are rumors that, like, the Big Ten is going to shut it down. And once the Big Ten shuts it down, probably the rest of the Power Five conference is shut down. Jason, you're very pessimistic this weekend. It seemed like on Friday you were leaning towards optimistic.
Well, you and I were on this weeks ago when we were very pessimistic that they were, would be able to play. Well, and then we got our hopes up because all of these conferences released their schedules with their dates.
And some teams started practicing. Now, I don't know how much they're practicing.
Yeah, they're practicing. ECU just had a scrimmage on Friday.
Right.
So they're practicing. But what gets me is I don't understand how these presidents and athletic directors can talk about setting up schedules and commissioners setting up schedules and then literally 3 or 4 days later say it's inevitable we're not going to be able to play because of the medical team that we have. Did they all of a sudden just change their views on this?
I mean, they have to prepare like the season could go forward. They have to have some semblance of a plan, right?
Why? They already had it in their mind that they were going to cancel.
Yeah, but they...
How can they set a schedule and literally 72 hours later say, we're probably going to cancel the entire season? Tell me how that's possible.
It's a fluid situation. That's how it's possible. They're getting...
I don't think so. The medical professionals, I guarantee they were telling them the exact same thing weeks ago.
Yeah, but maybe they thought, like, there was a period of time when, and I haven't studied this the last couple of days, but there was a period of time where it seemed like deaths were declining related to COVID, and then it went up a little bit. I don't know what it's done kind of the last couple of days. And so maybe when they're making all these plans, they were hoping that the decline was going to continue. And the decline in cases would continue instead of spiking back up in different spots all across the country. And maybe they were just hopeful that the coronavirus was going to fade away. And it hasn't. It's still prevalent. And there's still hot spots in this country. There's still a ton of cases. And so because of that, then all of the liability issues come into play.
But the liability issues were there weeks ago.
I understand that. But maybe... Maybe they were hopeful that they were going to be in a situation with, I'll just pick a random state. Let's say you're in Michigan, right? And you're talking about the University of Michigan and Michigan State in the Big Ten. And the Big Ten commissioners are looking at the data and they're like, oh, well, Michigan saw a spike in May. By the time we get to the football season, it's not going to be that prevalent. But
how
that
would they
may not
know
be
that?
The case right now.
I
know.
I find it hard to believe that their medical professionals, the doctors that these commissioners were talking to said, yeah, well, let's just see. Let's see. We'll see if the deaths go down, the hospitalizations go down. I don't think they were telling them that. They probably told them from the start, this is going to be very difficult. And they got everyone's hopes
understood.
Up by setting these schedules up. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever that they can decide in less than a week, here's our schedule set September 26th for the SEC, and then 72 hours later, we're going to cancel. Doesn't make any sense
to me.
Well,
it's the Big Ten trying to lead this charge. They're the ones really want to cancel.
I know the SEC is probably last on the list, but they're going to end up doing it if all the other Power Fives do it.
Right, and they're pressuring. Right now, the word is the Big Ten is pressuring the other conferences to cancel as well because they want to cancel. So
they're all going
to
fall in line.
Looks like they're all on the same page.
Yeah, they're
together.
All going to fall in line.
Well, the Big Ten has...
When these writers who are close with the commissioners and the ADs, when they say that the ADs are saying it's inevitable, that tells me there's going to be an announcement this week.
Yeah. I mean, it's frustrating, and I know everyone has their own opinion on this,
but... It's awful.
I refuse to believe that these players are safer on their own than they are being protected with all the restrictions they have on this team, being together, not mingling with students, being tested all the time. I understand not all the teams have money to do all this, so like the MAC can't play. But so you're just going to release all these football players back out into the wild, onto the campus, and wash your hands of them?
Yeah,
it's more about liability for these universities than it is for protecting the players. You can't say they're not more at risk just saying, all right, no season, go to those house parties, go to class, go have fun with everybody. We'll see you in the spring.
Yeah. And then why is there more liability for the college, the left tackle than there is for my daughter? If my daughter goes to two classes a week in person, what if she gets it? What if she would have passed away? Why is there more liability for the football player than the regular student? If you're going to shut down college football, why aren't you shutting down school?
There may not be more liability, but maybe they're just thinking that football lends itself to easier transmission.
You can get it from anywhere.
Of course.
You can get it walking down the street.
Understood.
Yeah, but I think it's easier to get it if you're a defensive lineman and you're a foot away from an offensive lineman breathing in your face and falling on top of you. I think there's higher – look, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a COVID expert. But I'm guessing if you're in closer proximity to 50 guys on a football field, it's going to be easier to get it.
These kids are going to be in classrooms.
Beyond the football
small
field.
Small classrooms.
Okay, but they may be bigger than, let's say, a linebacker room. I don't know. I'm sure, Alabama has huge facilities. Some schools don't have facilities that are majestic and magnificent and humongous. So beyond the on-the-field issues, they're probably in smaller type classrooms. Let's just use the word classrooms for film sessions.
At Ohio State and Michigan,
some of them are big ones.
They've got ridiculous facilities.
That is all true. But you're taking out the fact that there are so many restrictions on these players, and they're being watched all the time by their coaches. They're being tested all the time. Of course, there's going to be cases. There's going to be outbreaks, but they're doing everything they can. There's no restrictions on students on campus. It's do whatever you want.
Tests would a football player get if they were just going to school? They probably
zero.
Wouldn't get a test because they wouldn't have any symptoms.
I don't know that that's true, that there are no restrictions on campuses. Now, this is just, look, I've got one kid who's in college, and she goes to a school in New York, and New York has quarantine situations. She's going to have paperwork. It's not that
simple. Assuming that you're going to probably have to have a negative test to get on campus. Like, University of Maryland this fall, I believe, only has 5 dorms on the entire campus open. They're restricting it to singles. They're not letting you live with somebody else in your room. So there are restrictions in place.
Well, that's just when you get to school, and they're not doing that daily. So my daughter has to take a COVID test 5 days before classes start on August 24th. So she's got to have that on paper and submit that to the school. But they're not going to ask her to submit a test every time she comes on campus. That's one time. They're not going to ask 25,000 kids to have tests daily.
Right. They don't have those type of resources.
All those kids living in College Park, living in Tempe, Arizona, living in College Station, they're hanging out together at house parties.
I know.
The players have much more eyeballs on them, and they're being encouraged every single day.
It's the liability. It's the liability.
Don't fraternize.
They're worried about the left tackle, the big fatty who gets it and dies. There's a $100 million lawsuit.
And I do understand that as well. But
why can't they just make the kids sign waivers, make the families sign waivers? The kids who don't want to play, okay, opt them out. Give them an extra year of eligibility. They can play next year. Why can't they just say, hey,
I think waivers sometimes aren't bulletproof.
Make it bulletproof. Get your lawyers involved. Get the NCAA involved. Get the conferences involved. So what are you going to do? Are you going to move the whole season to the spring? That's outrageous. What are you going to do if next fall we're in the same situation? You're going to cancel 2 years in a row? I mean, you're going to be in the same situation. Just because all these companies are getting this fundage for their vaccine research doesn't mean there's going to be a vaccine. And if there is one, doesn't mean it's going to work. I think it's just the world we live in. You just can't cancel everything. You just can't do it.
Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. What do you make of the latest news that the Big Ten may pull the plug on the college football season? And if so, we're probably just not going to have a college football season because the rest of the conferences will probably follow suit. Let's go out to Doug in Myrtle Beach on line one. Doug, you're on with the Junkies. What's going on?
Doug.
Hey, what's up? So we'll be talking about this tonight on our show, but it's, you bring up the liability. It doesn't make any sense because the same people, like the Big Ten, I think the majority of the schools are having classes in person. So when my son or daughter gets, God forbid, dies from it as a regular student, when I go to court and I'm like a JP and I say, hey, my kid wasn't as, you know, my kid wasn't as important as the football players because you found it, you know, to be deadly and scary enough to not have football, but it was okay for Sally and Bobby to go to class. There's no difference in liability. You're going to be screwed as a school either way if you don't have the proper waivers in place. So I don't understand why grown, because these are grown kids. You know, you forget, like my 13-year-old who has to decide does he want to go to school and wear a mask or stay home and do homeschool, he's a kid, right? But these 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old college football players can apply to go to the military. They can buy cigarettes. They're big boys. Let them decide. It makes no sense to not give them the decision to play or not and have waivers in place. The liability stuff is – and for JP and
– Well, no,
JP,
no, but listen, well, listen, Doug, that, look, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you, but I still remember a conversation we had probably about a month ago with the medical director of the NFLPA, and he put us on to this, and it's true. NFL players, and he was talking about professional players, but I'm sure this applies to college football players. Many of them are in at-risk, high at-risk categories because all of those big guys, okay, are technically obese. A lot of them are carrying around a lot of extra weight. Think of all the offensive linemen and defensive linemen that are in 300s. And then a lot of them have sleep apnea. So they might be more apt and more likely to have negative outcomes when they do come down with COVID versus the 19-year-old student who might get it going to class. It's just riskier.
Yeah. Nubs Doug has a Nubs phone.
Let's go to Brendan in Richmond on line two. Brendan, you're on with the Junkies. What's going on?
This is pretty obvious, guys. I mean, this virus is so political, and I can promise you the presidents of these universities watch CNN, do not watch Fox News. So if you watch CNN every day, you're going to think that this virus is Ebola, the Black Plague. But here's the interesting thing. If they do push college football off to the spring, and the NFL is able to quickly get national televised games on Saturdays and on Sundays all through the fall, and then in the spring we got college football to look forward to, and the schools, like I'm a huge Hokie fan, my son goes to Tech, if those schools have more of a chance because Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, first, second rounders, they all decide not to play because they're preparing for the draft. It's in April. It could be a wild college football spring, and that might be kind of cool to watch if we have the NFL in Saturdays and Sundays.
Well, the only issue with that is then all of the players who are prospective NFL players, they're not going to play in the spring that close to the NFL draft. They're not going to risk, you know, injury, you know, a month before the NFL draft occurs.
Well, that's so what he's saying. He's saying other schools have a shot because those top players wouldn't play.
Right.
But what are you going to do? You're going to ask the kids to play a season in February, March, April, into May, and then take a month off and then get ready for the fall? Are you going to ask these kids to play 30 games in a calendar year? Can't do that. Spring's not going to work. They may try, but it doesn't, unless you're going to adjust the schedule going forward in the fall. You can't ask a team to play until May and then start practice again in July.
Right.
I mean, come on.
It's just too taxing.
I know some leagues are going to do it. But that's taxing on a kid. That's really taxing physically. If you think COVID's taxing, go ask these kids to play, you know, basically 9 months out of the year, 10 months out of the year.
Maybe they adjust the schedule, though. If you have a season in the spring.
Football is a fall sport. It is. It's got to be played in the fall. I would say, look, if you're going to cancel the season, just cancel it altogether and just start over next fall.
Well, that's what you think is going to happen, right?
I don't think there's going to be any college football played. I don't know if they'll go for the spring or not. Just logistically, it seems more difficult to me. But
The SEC commissioner, I was listening to an interview a couple weeks ago. He said it's just impossible. And he said that's their last thing on their list that they want to do ever is play football in the spring. And he says right. He just can't see it happening.
Yeah, that's the way I feel.
All right, phone number you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. We will talk to Jason Sobel from the Action Network coming up at 9 o'clock as he talks PGA Championship. Again, if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Plus, we'll hear what Ron Rivera had to say about releasing Darius Geis.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. I've spent a lot of the show talking about the Darius Geis situation. Of course, he was released by the Washington football team on Friday after finding out he'd been charged with a felony and three other charges, including strangulation, assault and battery. They decided to release him. People talk about a culture change here in Washington. Ron Rivera, of course, is the head coach. People are crediting him for the culture change. He spoke earlier to reporters and commented on Geis. He said, "We take those allegations very seriously. Each circumstance is unique. I made a decision that I believe was in the best interest of the organization. It's on me." He was also asked about the timeline. And he said he didn't want to get into the specifics, but Ron Rivera making it clearly known that it was on him. People then asked him about Reuben Foster, who had similar allegations. What Rivera said is, Reuben went through the process to show he was exonerated for the most part. He's done a great job. I'm excited. He needed to change his scenery, and he talks about his ability to make plays and be explosive.
Yeah, I give Rivera credit for allowing Foster to try to work through, you know, his process, and if he keeps his nose clean and does everything that the team asks of him, you know, he'll treat that circumstance differently than he does with Darius Geis and differently than he does with Cody Latimer. So I'm look, if he lets these guys try to rehabilitate themselves and they can keep themselves clean, I'm all about that. That's great. But with Geis, it was so explosive, and it just the timeline with what happened with him and with his partner, it just, the Redskins coming out of, you know, the name change, the front office scandal, Rivera made the decision he thought was best for the team. And now, I don't know it was the right call.
I don't know if this is right, but my read on it, somebody tweeted us and like, well, and they brought up the Reuben Foster situation. Like, right. Well, why did they get rid of Geis but not Reuben Foster? And I don't know enough about the details about Reuben Foster being exonerated and all those sort of things. But the way I looked at it, potentially, could be wrong, but this is what I think, is when you take over a team, you inherit a roster, right? So Ron Rivera comes in. He's the head coach of the Washington Redskins now the Washington football team. He's inherited last year's roster. He starts with a clean slate with those guys. That's the way that I look at it. He doesn't go back to the past and say, well, this guy did this 2 years ago, this guy did this 5 years ago. Now, if something happens during his tenure then he deals with it.
Right.
And that's what he's chosen to do here with Darius Geis. The interesting question is, and Jason brought this up before, what if this happens to Chase Young? Because I don't think any of us believe they would just get rid of Chase Young.
No, there are exceptions. That's what I would say.
I think depending on your value to the team and to the organization, you're going to be dealt with, as Rivera intimated, every circumstance is unique.
Right.
That's so he's inherited,
you know, he gets rid of Darius Geis because these are new allegations. He took over a team that had Adrian Peterson, and Adrian Peterson went through his situation, you know, where he was hitting his kid with the switch, beating his kid, and right. That was, you know, a lot of, you know, people know about that past. So like I said, I think Adrian Peterson has a clean slate with Ron Rivera, and if he's squeaky clean, he stays on the roster. But all of a sudden,
true.
If he has another incident,
right.
then I think they would
get
rid of him.
But then you brought up Cody Latimer. Good point, JP. You brought up Latimer. Why is it okay for Latimer to stay on the roster and not okay for Geis?
Now, the Latimer situation, correct me if I'm wrong, he is accused of doing some things which certainly could land him in jail, but didn't he believe that the guy he attacked sexually assaulted his kid?
Well, it doesn't mean it happened.
That was the report.
I know.
We don't know. I mean,
of course we don't know. I'm just saying maybe somehow they're justifying it.
Right. The story's more believable.
But I would also guess, too, that if you're Ron Rivera, the first thing I'm doing after I'm dealing with the Geis mess is I'm going to go to Reuben Foster and say, if anything like this happens with you while you're on this team, the same fate awaits you.
Well,
you know, like
even,
if you've messed up in the past and you're on thin ice, I'm guessing Rivera is using this as an unfortunate teaching point for guys like Reuben Foster.
But, Cakes, remember, the accuser in the Reuben Foster case recanted her story and said she made it all up.
Understood. But it's still something that is – when you're accused of domestic violence, whether it's true or not, that stain stays with
you. Yeah, I know.
It just does.
Because there's going to be a certain portion of the population that will believe her.
Right.
Even if she recanted it. You know, someone will probably say, well, she was forced to take her – retract her story or whatever. But – When she comes out and says, I just made it all up because he wanted to be out of the relationship, and another woman is how I got the injuries because she claimed that she got in a fight with another woman, then you're right. It looks bad on Foster, but he said he was innocent the whole time.
We can open up the phone lines once again, 800-636-1067. Do you think the Washington football team handled this right? Did Ron Rivera handle it? Rivera apparently said the decision was tough. But the team had to make the decision going forward, and it's best for the team and its fans. And he explained it to the other Washington players. So he has had a conversation with the team, Cakes, maybe not specifically to Reuben Foster, but he's relayed that to the team. I think all of us are on board with the decision, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Especially
and the other factors, which we haven't brought up in this segment, is he's a running back. He's a running back who's been oft injured and has never proven anything. He wasn't Ron Rivera's guy. He was drafted a couple years ago in the second round. They've got a crowded running back room as it is now with a lot of guys who are unproven that they are hoping will blow up in the NFL, like Bryce Love, like the guy that they drafted, Antonio Gibson. But he's a running back, and that's a definite factor.
I think Chris Russell brought up a good point in his column. He joined us on the show earlier, his SI.com column. He basically said, look, the Redskins are a private entity. They're a private employer. They can hire and fire people as they see fit, especially if their actions reflect poorly upon the organization. Hmm. And, look, at this point, there are allegations, but what Darius Geis did or allegedly did reflects poorly on the Washington football team. So they chose to release him, and I have no problem with that going forward.
Do you think that Darius Geis will ever play another down in the NFL?
Yes. I think he will.
Can I say maybe?
Sure.
I'm going to go a strong maybe.
I think, he's young enough where, let's say, you know, he's got, like you mentioned, he's got some super high-priced attorney.
Yeah.
The attorney maybe gets him, you know, no jail time. He gets suspended by the NFL for 8 games, probably misses this entire season. I wouldn't bet on him playing this season. But come next season, I think he finds a way to be in somebody's camp. He's too talented. Guys who are that talented usually get second chances, third chances, fourth chances.
Right, but does the off-the-field baggage and the injury history, does that – I mean, doesn't that concern you if you're a GM? Like,
true.
You can find a running back anywhere. Why would you want to deal with a headache?
Maybe, but he probably gets a heavy incentive-laden contract, and I think he gets another chance. Look, you just went maybe. I'm just rolling the dice on yes.
I'm leaning more towards no. I'm going to say no, doesn't get another chance.
What do your instincts tell you, Jason?
Well, I think the legal team is a big part of it because this guy, Peter Greenspun, who represented the D.C. sniper, represented Marv Albert, represented the guy who killed his wife in Ashburn and tried to make it look like a suicide, some high-profile cases. So if he can kind of pick apart the accuser's stories and somehow get guys off, and found not guilty, if it goes to trial, maybe it's settled out of court, I don't know. But I think the attorney has a lot to do with it. So I would say, yeah, I think he's going to play again. Not for Washington, but I think he'll play.
Oh, definitely not for Washington. Those days are done.
Yeah.
He's just too good. That's really the frustrating thing. I mean, it's crazy that we had the conversation on Friday when we were talking about Josh Doctson, who was most recently with the New York Jets, opting out because of COVID for the NFL season. And we were talking about how disappointing Josh Doctson was. Now, Doctson was a first-round pick, which is different than a second-round pick. But to me, Geis was more disappointing in a Redskins uniform than Josh Doctson because we saw how good he might be. Like, I never really saw Josh Doctson to be a very good player. I know he had 6 touchdowns 1 year. But I never expected that much out of Josh Doctson. Mm-hmm. Geis, he was so good in just these little bursts that we saw him in, whether it was in his first ever preseason game before he got hurt or whether it was his limited action during actual NFL games. I think we all thought, if this guy can stay healthy, he's going to be a monster.
Yeah, we all thought that because we saw what he did in college. And we saw in a limited amount of time what he did in the NFL. Of course. But I don't know if the position really has too much to do with it. I mean, I know you say, hey, he's a running back. We got plenty of running backs. But they got plenty of guys. They got plenty of receivers. A lot of them unproven. They got plenty of safeties. They got plenty of DBs. I think it was the fact that they inherited him. They didn't like him to start. And he had character issues in college. I don't know how well-liked he was in the locker room. I think there were a lot of other factors.
Hey, coming up now, I'm going to give listeners a chance to win a $25 gift card to Tropical Smoothie. 10th caller at 800-636-1067. You'll get that $25 gift card to Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Baseball is back in Tropical Smoothie Cafe in the Washington Nationals. They've partnered to bring you the Nat's Berry Crush Smoothie, a delicious blend of strawberries and cranberries, available this season at participating DMV locations. Tropical Smoothie Cafe, official smoothie of the Washington Nationals. 10th caller at 800-636-1067 will win that. When we come back, we'll get back into the PGA Championship with Jason Sobel, golf writer for the Action Network here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.